Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Carding Dads. In this episode, we talk about how we're going to try to accomplish on making our local track and our critical turns come a little bit slower. And by saying that, we got the idea from a Ross Bentley podcast that he has a show called Speed Secrets, and how he had some drivers talk about how to make a track seem slower. And pretty much they're saying by driving just something that's a little bit faster. Now, we're not looking at making our lap times faster. We're just concentrating on making our corner speeds faster. So we took this idea and we're giving it to you guys on what we're going to try to do to accomplish this. And we're going to continue to keep track of it and see how it goes. So I appreciate you guys, you know, listening to our show and telling all your friends about it, because it's really starting to show up. And I couldn't be more grateful enough for just, you know, two guys who just happen to love karting. So I appreciate it again. Please continue to have fun karting, you know, keep it fun, keep it real, and just hopefully you guys enjoy the show as much as we did. So thanks again, guys. Have a good one.
How's your weekend been?
My weekend was pretty good. Little man had some swimming lessons again this weekend, so my wife went with one of her girlfriends up there because they have a daughter about his age. And so they're like, hey, we're going to swimming lessons and then we're going to swim afterwards. You want to go? I'm kind of like, nah. Yeah, I'd like to go hang out with my kid, but I don't really want to hang out with y'all too much. So I had stuff to do around the house. I had to get the yard cut and, do my normal house chores that I want to do, because I get spoiled with 3-day weekends. And then this weekend just not happened to be a 3-day weekend. So I was like, kind of crunching everything into a 2-day weekend. So I could be late on Sunday. Yeah.
Right.
You know, 410 problems. They went up and did swim lessons. I got some stuff done around the house, and, you know, they wanted to go swimming afterwards. So I decided to head up to the track, and I met up there with Heath and Becca and Ivy. They were up there, and, you know, Heath's doing his thing, and he's just looking really good. He has a new body kit, the new, I think the same kit you got from Comet.
Yeah.
And he had some pretty good reviews of it. And, it looks good. Like, it's that whole body kit. Do you know what the model number is or whatever?
I can tell you right now. Give me 1 second. Let me look it up. So it looked good, really? Cause I was afraid it would look a little funny.
No, it looks good. Like, going down the backstretch, like, it looks fast, it looks racy. He says that he can feel the difference between having the old driver panel to the new one. There's a reason why, like, this driver panel is doing good. Not only does he, with the Tony Carr P7 or MP7 or whatever it's called, is changing the game of aero for CIK and different, you know, different classes and getting banned in other classes, but there's a reason behind it. And yeah, it's a game changer for sure.
Definitely. The KG506 nose with the foot deflector, and it's the Eurostar Dynamics driver panel. And it's on the Comet Car Sales website. So shout out to Gary Lawson for tipping me on that one.
Yeah. He went up to the Indy race. Yeah. The Indy race, right? And he spanked people and, you know, put his name in the
butt
books.
Whooping. I mean, proper butt whooping.
Yeah, so props to Gary Lawson and, you know, sharing that information with you on why he did it. So, Heath was up there and he was looking good. And Alex and his dad, Cervais, was up there. And Mason and his dad, Brian, got up there. So I was just hanging out with them for a little bit, and, Alex with his 15 billion cars that he has, it seems like, I was talking to them, and I asked them if they had, you know, a spare 219 chain that, you know, I could use for James's cart. And sure enough, they went ahead and gave me a chain because he had them sitting all day. He's like, well, we don't use 219 anymore because, you know, they're doing shifter carts and stuff. So he hooked me up with one of those chains and brought it back to the house. And sure enough, it was the exact linkage that I needed.
Oh, perfect.
Exactly. Perfect. Like, I'm right in the middle of the, the slots of, for the motor mounts to slide it back and forth. And, like, I didn't go up there looking for, you know, free stuff. Don't get me wrong. I want, you know, to come across that way. I just happened to ask him, like, hey, you're the only really two cycle guy in our group. Would you happen to have any 219 chain?
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad because Alex's dad, I mean, they're good people. I mean, they'll do anything for everybody. And, you know, this kind of said the two cycle group here isn't panning out to, like, you know, how they are. But, you know, it is what it is.
And so wait, are they running 428? Are they running the 428 on everything now? Because the shifter uses a 428, right?
Yeah, they use something like that. Yeah, I think the X, well, maybe not. Maybe the shifter is a different chain than the X30.
Yeah,
the X30 is also.
Shifters have always used a 428.
Yeah, and then the X30 is a beefier chain than the 219. I don't know. Where's Ron when you need him with these kind of things?
I know, right?
But
hey,
no,
hey Ron,
so
if you don't mind, could you text us like real quick as soon as you hear this? We'll correct it if we're wrong. If you usually are.
Yeah, well, 99% of the time we're wrong. So no, it was really cool for them to just have the chains. You go and you know, so basically, like, you know, I just bring these chains in case anybody needs one. Here you go. So, you know, it was really cool. And Alex was, you know, doing his thing on the shifter cart, and you know, around 103rd when you have that long backstretch and watching that cart go through the big sweeper. And it seems like he goes in and out within, like, maybe 2-3 seconds of the most. It's just impressive. It's like, holy moly, that cart is so freaking fast. Like, it's a whole different world. It's like, oh, my God, you know? Like, if you look at 2-6 races, it's like, okay, they go into the sweeper. You can go to the concession stand, order your hot dog, come back, watch them come out the sweeper. By the time they get down the backstretch, your hot dog's ready, you know?
Dude, that's harsh, yo.
Cool. No, when we're starting, you know, the elite guys are, you know, in the low, or the upper 40s to low 41s, and Alex by himself was doing like a 35.2. And he's like, yeah, there's something wrong. Nothing's working the way it should be. And I'm like, seriously? okay. No, you know, it's just, it's cool. It's just cool to see different cars out there that have different, you know, horsepower levels, different driving techniques, different, you know, brake setups. You know, they transfer the weight different. I mean, everything is just, you know, it's just different. It's just cool to see. It's just cool to see that. In my opinion, it's just cool to see, like, the diversity of what a cart can actually be.
Right.
So, but, yeah, so that kind of brings me to the point of this podcast, and it's something that, you know, I'm really excited to talk about with you is because I want to talk about different cart, like, speeds and not only just, like, horsepower levels, but speed levels and learning to take a track. If the track's coming too fast, how you can slow it down, right?
Right.
So I think that's a problem that, you know, a lot of people have is they get to a track and you look up a bunch of videos on YouTube and, you know, you're like, oh man, that doesn't look bad. You know, that looks pretty slow or pretty smooth. And you get to the track, it's like, holy moly, what is this? This is nothing what the YouTube video showed, right? It's a whole different perspective. So in saying that, I was listening to a Speed Secret podcast that's hosted by Ross Bentley, and he had a multi-time champion, not only in karting, but in Skip Barber School, said Chris Warheim, And it was a really good episode. To me, like, it hit home, and it definitely changed my, like, mind and the way I think of not only karting, but if I want to get back into, you know, racing cars with you again. Like, it totally changed that kind of concept about, you know, if you want to go faster in turns and you don't, and you can't figure out a turn, get into, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing this. So, I mean, it might sound easier than what it is, but get into a faster car. Now, by saying that, I'm not saying that a faster car will give you faster lap times. That is by far, like, something that is not true. And I don't want anybody to think that, oh, if I go from a 206 to a tag, I'm going to be a faster driver. Probably, you know, maybe. But, like, that's not my point of this conversation. My point is going into a turn that you struggle with, that you have gotten to a comfort zone at your 206 speed or your pro gas speed or your, you know, tag speed or your shifter car speed. Like, there's something that once you, like, plateau, you have to find some way to get out of your comfort zone, right? And it, I think that's something that's very difficult for anybody to do in anything, whether it's, you know, business or sports, you know, with you running track, with me in wrestling, if you compete against, you know, your same level people or, you know, not as talented as you in your sport, then you're going to settle for that. You know, you always want to practice against people who are better than you to see what they're doing to make you better, right?
Yeah, no, definitely.
So, like, I'm looking at, you know, some, you know, champions, you know, not only like national wise, that's a whole different realm from us, right? But if you look at, you know, just regional wise, you know, for instance, we talk about him all the time, but in Corey Tolles. Corey Tolles never started in a 206 and only did 206 and only won in 206, right? Mm-hmm. He's been through almost every kind of kart that's out there in different motor packages, and from dirt to asphalt to sprint, you know, he's done a lot of it. So he has, like, all these different tools in his box that he can go to any turn, to any track at any speed, and it's slow to him, and he can fine tune in his mind exactly where his kart needs to be, at what lap, at what grip surface, at what temperature. And that's just something that comes with experience, you know? And,
right,
you know, maybe getting into that faster mode that, yes, it's okay to blow the turn, you know, in this car because you're not racing this car. You're just trying to figure out why can this car go faster through that turn and you can't in your car. Is it a mental thing? Is it, you know, a physical attribute that you have? Is it, are you timid? You know, that's my whole point.
Yeah, I agree with it. So, I agree. We've kind of played with this idea, like, and I'm glad you brought it up as a topic to discuss today. So, yeah, Chris, I think it was episode 74. I know I looked it up a little while.
Yeah, something
Chris,
like that.
Chris is a co-founder for Kart 360. He lives in Atlanta, so... you know, it's kind of cool to see the name because, like, oh, that's a name I've seen before. I mean, well, usually with Speed Secrets, I've seen a lot of the names before. But, yeah, it's kind of cool, like, the karting focus there. And using a faster kart to improve your driving, not by lap time, but specifically if you can go through a corner, right, so... I guess let me step back. The faster guy, you know, is faster than you really in the corner, whether it's on the entry into the corner, whether it's on the braking, whether it's where he's positioning his car, whether it's where he's getting back on throttle. You know, I say this all the time. My 4-year-old daughter can step on the gas pedal the same rate as you and I. You know, I mean, it's all about, you know, that big pedal, you know, on the left, right? That's really it. It's the brake pedal is what defines, you know, what's happening. Yeah, somebody lifts off the gas sooner than the other, but it's really because there's a corner coming. If it was an end of straight, we'll all keep our foot down. So in that cornering, the guy who's faster than you is likely going through the corner a little faster. Whether it's 1 mile an hour faster, that translates to 5 miles an hour faster at the end of the straight, you know, if it's a long one, or whether he's just going through there 5 miles an hour quicker through that corner than you are, it's all of that corner. And if you can drive something that gets your brain used to, you know, the speed, whether it's 45 miles an hour through a corner, and in the 206, realistically, you're peaking at 40 just because your entry speed, right? By the time you get there, you're barely faster than that. And if your brain has muscle memory and you're stepping on the brake pedal the same, if you came at a, you know, at a higher speed, you step on the brake pedal for the same amount of time, you're not going to decelerate to the same speed you would have in the 206. That's just physics. You know, so the way motion works, which is the study of physics, is that if you're traveling a higher speed and you brake for the same amount of time, you'll slow down at a certain rate. If you can get into a faster cart and go through the corner and get your brain used to taking that corner 3 or 4 miles an hour quicker than you do in the 206, then chances are when you get back in the 206, your brain will have plenty of time to figure out what you need to adjust, right? If it's the speed, if it's the entry speed, if it's the apex speed, if it's how quickly you get back to throttle, if it's how much input you're putting in, and if you're just binding the cart too much just because you're cranking it too much steering, all those things, just because your brain is used to going through there a little quicker, you know, you'll just know that you're slower, right? And you'll have time. So I absolutely agree with you. And there's so many ways to break that down. You know, I mean, the things you can do if you had the time. Oh, my God. Like, I would try, you know, hitting the apex. I would try half a cart width away from the apex. I would try a full cart width away from the apex. I mean, I would try, you know, 5 degrees of steering more than I think I should. I would try 5 degrees less. I would try getting in the throttle, you know, 100 RPM earlier. I mean, there's so many things, right, that you could try to go faster if your brain was able to actually compute it and recognize what's happening. And so in that regard, definitely driving something faster will make it a little bit easier. So I agree with you for sure. I think that's a good thing and a tough way to test it, but you know, if you don't have any other cart to try, but definitely something that those who have the opportunity should really try and use as a tool.
Yeah, I was talking to Allison's dad, and Alex is out on the track, and I was hanging out with his dad in his trailer, and Alex had his X30 sitting in the trailer, and I asked him, I was like, hey, have you noticed a difference with your son when he goes from the shifter cart to the X30? Like, do you see a difference in how he approaches turns, on how, you know, his hands are quicker, or, you know, he's not putting in so much input because he knows what's going to work? And so basically, like, as soon as you drive the shifter cart and then you hop up to the X30, it's like you're at a crawl. You know, those weren't his exact words. I mean, don't get me wrong, X30 is nothing slow whatsoever, but you're going from having to constantly watch your RPM gauge on shift points or break points, and, you know, you're busy with two hands compared to you're only busy with a left foot and a right foot, right? So yeah. When Alex came in, I pulled him aside. I was like, hey, Alex, you know, I am looking at trying, you know, this. Let me ask you a question before I start investing, like, my time and money into trying something new. Do you see a difference between going from, you know, from, for instance, the X30 to the 206? Remember, because he drove a 206 with us, and he's like, this is like indoor karting to him. You know, not everybody in a 206 thinks, you know, that, you know, like slow like indoor karting. But once you start seeing the track and you have all your visual points, whether it's a patch of dirt or, you know, rumble strips or a telephone pole or a batch of trees or who knows what it is, right? Everybody has different visual points, right? So as soon as you start seeing those points come at you slower, your brain is processing faster, which relaxes your muscles. It relaxes, you know, from you gripping the steering wheel too tight, right? So,
yeah.
Like, it's a known fact in karting that if you push down on the steering wheel going into a turn, you're initiating more front bite. In a car, you don't feel that. But in a car, it's a huge difference because I tried it once because I was like, you know what? Corey said something about if you push down on the steering wheel to initiate more front grip, like if you're just having such a loose cart that you can't get front grip. And so I decided, I was like, okay, I'm going to push down on the wheel and see what happens. And yeah, the grip was, it was fast. My hands and body reaction was not even expecting nothing like that. But yeah, there's a huge difference. So being relaxed in the seat at that kind of speed, I think, is a huge advantage to have.
Right.
So, I mean, you watch a bunch of YouTube videos, so do I, on all different kind of karting. You know, we look at 206 videos, you know, X30s, tags, shift karts. You know, we follow True Racer with his shifted karts over on the West Coast. I mean, it's, you know, you watch all these different videos of your elites and, you know, your average Joes like us. And people who have helmet cams on, I think is really cool because on a helmet cam, the longer the race goes, according to like your skill level, the more that camera starts to lean and turns, right? So you're moving in the seat more, your core strength isn't up to par, your neck is turning over, the steering inputs are getting worse and worse, you know, or it's getting more and more. I wouldn't say worse and worse, but more and more. And it's like, okay, there's something happening in the cart. What's happening that maybe this driver isn't figuring out? And then when you look at like the Max Verstappen videos and Fernando Alonso videos, when they're on their, you know, their helmet cams, their heads don't move, their bodies don't move, their hands are in the exact same spot. Now, that's a huge dramatic, you know, change between an average Joe and the elites. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, you just watch like scooter races, like people who run up front in scooter races, or, you know, some of these GoPro events that the, you know, the 206 drivers are winning at GoPro races. Like, you could see it that, you know, there's something within moving in the seat or seeing a turn a little bit faster, there's something to it. What it is, I don't know. I don't have the experience to know what it is, but to me, there's something to it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I haven't experienced that yet, and maybe I have, I just haven't watched it. I do have a helmet cam, right? Yes, I have a helmet cam, and I did 70 laps. I need to watch and see. First, I need to find the time, but I need to watch and see, you know, my head positioning and movement at the end of that 70 laps. Well, the truth is I didn't even feel the least bit worn out at the end of 70. So maybe if my camera had recorded at the end of the day, that may be something worth doing. Maybe the next time I go back out and do like 200 laps or something, I'll check from lap, you know, the first five laps and the last five laps and see. But yeah, I mean, as humans, we get tired, right? You are going to get tired. Your neck is going to relax a little bit more, and then, you know, you'll just struggle a bit more to bring it back, and it's okay if it leans over just a little bit more. I don't have to bring it back immediately. I have to keep resist the force, you know?
right.
So yeah, I believe it happens. And, you know, I personally don't think those things kind of weigh enough to affect it. So I think it's just the human and the natural tendency. But whether or not that plays into, you know, someone's actual talent or speed through a corner, I can't say. But I do believe that there is definitely a correlation between, you know, getting the track to slow down for you and if you can go through, you know, a corner. I mean, I'm thinking of just my own experience, and I wish I could draw on my karting experience a lot, but, you know, I really don't have a ton of karting experience to draw on, but I can compare it to, you know, sim racing even, for example, and then, you know, move that to cars. And yeah, I mean, I go through a corner and, you know, let's give a good example that we typically go. It's a Road Atlanta, this one. if I go through turn 7 at Road Atlanta and I go there at like 43 miles an hour because I'm passing some car or something happened, I know the difference between that 1 mile an hour slower that I went and that 45 and a half that I'm always trying to go for, right? I'm always trying to exit turn 7 at Road Atlanta between like 45 and a half or 46 miles per hour. You know, that's always reaching for that. And if I go through there at 43, I can tell. Like, I went that much slower through here, and I can feel it on the entry. I can feel it on the exit. So, yeah, I would think that if you could, you know, get yourself to the point where you could feel the difference between the corners, I mean, it would make a big difference. I want to commit to testing it. I guess, sneak peek, we've already started our hunt. I've been hunting for a way to make it happen. I still have my 2004 Coyote. I just need to find either a World Formula or a Pro Gas. Another four cycle engine that I could just bolt to it without doing any work or fabrication, and know that I'm instantly, you know, a couple of RPM quicker through the corner just because it's a faster cart, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of brings up another point. I went and saw our buddy Stephen Gall with G Finishing Custom Fiberglass. Who races with us, and I had to get my seat refinished because I broke my seat. So when it comes to fiberglass, Steven's a guy that, you know, we both kind of trust. I mean, he's made body kits for his cart, and I was asking him because he's a big motor guy, and I tell him about, you know, the idea of just going to Harbor Freight and get a Predator motor if he can help us with building the engine. But I kind of gave him the idea that we wanted to do. He's like, oh, no problem, mate, in this little British voice that he has. And it's just like, okay, like, he got all excited. He's like, building engines. He's like, yeah, I build boats for a living. I want to, you know, do something else with boats. And, you know, and so it was really cool. And so he said that he could help us out if we could find a, you know, blown 206, or if we go, you know, Predator Motors, or ask some of the local dirt track guys if they have any used motors. No, just to try it. I mean, we don't want it to race it because there's no point in racing it. There's no trying to, like, reinvent the wheel of karting with a new motor because,
yeah.
I mean, there's already enough packages. It's just a testing aspect to challenge your brain, challenge your own, like, personal bubble and your comfort zone. Because I've told you many times, like, at a certain track that I just feel so comfortable with, like, for instance, Roebling Road. I love that track. It's my favorite track in the world. I don't know why. It's just probably because I know every square inch and I've gone off on every single turn and come out okay. I haven't flipped my car over a fence and landed on all fours yet, but hopefully I don't do that, unlike somebody.
That's a talent, man. I welcome all challenges to do that.
I mean, and ironically, it goes over the sign that says fence jumpers will be, you know, removed from the property. no, but like that's a track.
They didn't say anything about cars, so.
That's a track that they're really comfortable with, and we've had this conversation a number of times. It doesn't matter if I'm in a Corvette or my Volkswagen or your old truck or my wife's SUV, I'm going to turn the exact same lap times because that is my comfort zone, and I know exactly what it can do. So that is why, like, after hearing that podcast on Speed Secrets, is like, this is something I have to do for myself. And I mean, it'll not be for everybody, but this is something I have to do for myself to say, do you have what it takes to, you know, get that half second per lap because the track's still coming a little too fast. Your eyes are opening too wide. You're not breathing correctly going into a turn. Your hands are too, you know, your knuckles are getting white because of, like, the number one rule of, you know, in NASA is you tell all your students that you have is relax your hands. Relax your hands. Relax your hands. You know, you don't want white knuckles. Your hands and forearms should be hurting at the end of a 20-minute session. If so, you're too tense. You have to relax. And so, like, that's, like, the mental things that I'm taking, like, in my preparation for car racing. Like, if
I want to try to find that extra, you know, quarter or half second or whatever it is, that maybe this is a step I have to take. Now, I'm not using this as an excuse for me not, you know, being able to keep up with everybody. We don't.
Oh, come on.
No, it sounds like that.
The excuses don't start there, man. They started with, oh, today was a hot day in Florida, man.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't want like, people to come across like the reason why I can't compete is because, you know, this and that. Like, no, my driver skill is nowhere up to par with the people that we race with. I understand that. Like, I am totally cool with saying the quote Davy Town is, or the Davy quote that's like the greatest quote in the world is, I just ran out of talent. You know, that's like,
yeah,
you know, that's us every single day in when we're racing cars. I just, what can I do to minimize that, like, reasoning is I ran out of talent. Right. That's like point of this thing.
Yeah, we're all trying to find ways to get quicker and using every tool, you know, that's available. And this is one of them, right, is if you, you know, once you identify, okay, this is something I can improve on, you know, somebody says, I need to improve on my braking because I go into, you know, when I'm going into the turn, you know, the cars in front of me, they're all going deeper than me, or, you know, I need to, you know, figure out how to race better, all those things. Well, Jacksonville, to be honest, is a very, very easy track.
Yes.
You know, just in a 206 or any slow four cycle, there's literally only one actual braking zone, right? Just one. So, you know, if we say, you know, the difference really happens under braking and everybody's flat-footed everywhere else except this one place, then, yeah, chances are you would think that's the only place you'd be losing time. And you're not losing, you know, I know I'm not losing a whole second, right, in just that turn alone. Because I'm flat-footed everywhere else. And, you know, I mean, you guys have stood there running, you know, you guys, everybody is stood there saying, yeah, I'm on it. I'm flat everywhere. And it's still not enough. So, you know, there are a few little things that I personally know make a big difference, which is on that given day, everybody's going through the same corner, but, man, just one section of the track could be a little quicker than the other, right? And it's not worth the whole second, no. But you put all the corners together, you figure out on this given day, you're probably losing, you know, 3/10 of the whole lap because, you know, you're missing this, that, that, or that, right, for various reasons. And I know one of them is I'm not able to tell which line is actually faster by feel, you know.
Right.
And if you can't do that, you know, if I'm going to have to run 3 or 4 laps and then look at my data or, you know, look at my attack to be able to see it. And I'll go ahead and give a tip here, Carton Dad's tip for this episode. if you identify, like, the corner that's the slowest where you have, you know, like, your lowest RPM and you have, like, a minimum RPM you're trying to hit. So for us in Jacksonville, the Mini Bowl, for example, is this, you know, it drops all the way down when you're starting, down to like 3,200 RPM. But once you're on it, you should be in the 3,400, 3,500, you know, RPM range to not drop below one, the clutch engagement point, but to also know that you're not losing too much speed going in. Well, one thing you can do if you have a Micron 5 is for your shift lights, your alarm lights, you can set your lights to your RPMs. So you could set, what I do is I set my lowest RPM to that 3,400 so that if all my lights go out, I know I'm below 3,400. And that way, as I go through the turn, you know, and you can adjust it as needed, but as I go through, you know, the Mini Bowl, and my eye can just, you know, out of my peripheral, look on my Micron 5. And if my lights never went out, I know I didn't drop below 3,400, right? So as I get that, you know, I go back and look at my data. I was like, huh, well, these 2 or 3 laps, I did 3,500, you know, 3,530 through the Mini Bowl. And, you know, you have to account for a little bit of variance here. And you know, obviously, it's taking an RPM coil, so it could bounce a little bit. But if you can consistently say I'm hitting, say, 3,550 on my two fastest laps, and all the other laps I'm at 34, 50 or something like that. Well, set your shift light, or not the shift light, your RPM light to come on at 3,500, right? That way you could try a couple of different lines, and then you can quickly look down, you know, look down the, on the dash out of your peripheral, see, oh, that line staying a little bit off. That's what did it, or maybe nailing that apex perfectly, or, and then you want to look at the data to see everything, the entry, the corner, the track out, all that, but you'll be able to quickly try a few things, and without having to, you know, try and look at numbers rotate, you could just, you know, sorry, numbers change on the dash, you can quickly just see the lights come, you know, go out or stay on. So that's my tip for figuring out, you know, which lines, you know, are working for me based on the RPM that I've been using. And I can say it's been helping. I mean, it still hasn't got me into the 41 O's I want, but, you know, it's definitely helped me consistently be, you know, one of the, you know, faster guys in the mid pack. So that's a tip right there. But
no, that's a good point on using your lights and using like equipment that you have, that there's small things that maybe you wouldn't think about doing, but no, that's really smart, because I think everybody, or at least I set my RPM lights to, I want to be at a certain place at a certain time of the track to know if I'm ahead of the sector or not. From what, right. I'm moving mine, you know, quite often. So like, I know, okay, at this sector, I should be here, here, here. Am I at where I need to be? And so like, I never really thought of dropping it to my lowest and saying, if this light's off at this turn, you've done something wrong. So I'm most likely going to take your tip and go back and change that, you know, maybe make it a red light or whatever that says, hey, you messed up.
Right,
and,
right,
you know,
definitely.
Go back and look at the data, because, you know, that's, you know, something that I need to really start really digesting in and digging into is, where I'm messing up, why I'm messing up, and then compare the video to the data that I got from my Micron 5. And, you know, it's all about using the equipment that you have to its max potential.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, with that, and then obviously, like I said, being able to, you know, play with the lines a little bit, right? That's what, you know, you and I have definitely agreed on, and you know, mentioning Ron again, you know, he can sometimes, he would see Corey out there testing, and Corey would be taking a different line into a certain corner or trying something different. And from the outside, he'd just be wondering, why is he doing that? But then, you know, he'll come in and you look at the times and you go, oh, he figured out or he tried this and it maybe worked better. So he tried it again and again and again, and he recognized that on that particular day, right, at that particular time, with the setup that he had, with the pressures that he had, the temperatures, all that, you know, the cart was behaving a little better, maybe a little bit slower, a little bit wider, a little bit, you know, tighter, all those things. So that's where I think the most value will come for me, if I can get the track to slow down through those corners, not because I need the corners themselves to slow down. You know, I've gone to the point where the right-hander before the mini bowl in Jacksonville, I'm one-handed head bobbing and like wilding out, you know, the final stands in that corner. I made it a point to like have my right hand off the steering wheel completely and like, you know, rock out sign to people I'm passing. It's like, yeah, no, flat, do we hear? No problem. Hashtag don't care. Right. Like, so I'm not worried about like the speed I'm going through the corner anymore. It's more so having to slow down enough so I can be precise and not just precise. Oh, I hit my mark. Yay. No, I want to hit my mark and be able to understand everything that happened, you know, between me in my butt, feeling out what the tires did, how the cart, you know, bound up or loosened up or picked itself up through that corner, right? Even if I can get it to slow down more, so I can shift my weight around in the seat a little bit to see if that makes a difference. You know, it's like, oh, it's not picking up enough of the tire. You know, I want it to stay free. I want to keep my hands straight more. So if I want to keep my hands straight more, I definitely want to pick up that wheel more so that my hands can be straight, but it'll rotate more without having to turn the front end. So, yeah, if I could do a little something, I could flick a little bit more at the entry, anything I can do to get my hands straight sooner, and I can have the time to, you know, identify and observe it happen. That would be wicked. So I can't wait to actually get to the point where I can test that consistently with you. But, dude, I'm so glad we're talking about it today. And hopefully those out there who have a way or who have had experience, you know, driving, you know, something faster. If you have two cars, you have a two-stroke and a four-stroke, or you have a tag, or you have a shifter and a tag, whatever it is. If you've, you know, tried it out, definitely, you know, reach out and share your experience with us. It would be cool to hear. You know, you may not have been faster overall, the lap time, like Andrew said, because it's more than just one corner that makes up, you know, a lap time, and it's definitely more than just the driving. Sometimes it's a setup. But all in all, if you felt like through maybe a certain corner, driving something faster really helped you where, you know, that definitely feels slower in a slower cart, be cool to hear.
Yeah, please share with us. And, you know, I know we're not the only ones struggling with this. So if you're struggling with this with some other people in your group, you know, let us know. And maybe we can all put the same ideas together. And, you know, just because we're in Jacksonville, Florida, and someone might be in Virginia or Oregon or Washington State or, you know, New York, it doesn't matter. You know, it's getting some people together that have the same kind of ideas and what you can to help somebody. So, yeah, please let us know if there's anything we can do to help or any kind of information you're looking for that we haven't, you know, hit on. You know, we love to help anybody, everybody. As long as you keep your karting fun and as long as you're having a good time doing what you're doing, I mean, that's really, for us, that's what karting's all about.
Yep, most definitely.
So, yeah, man, I think this was a good episode. I think we're going to wrap this up now. And get ready for the week.
Sounds good, brother. You're heading on the ocean, right? You gone?
Yeah, I will be gone next week. And it's kind of, I'm not even going to say it's bittersweet because it's not. It's something I haven't done in about 4 years. And
right.
I'm looking forward, you know, definitely looking forward to just spending some time alone with the wife and not having to worry about anything whatsoever. So, yeah, that's our plans.
Sounds good. Well, you stay dry and don't jump overboard or do anything crazy like I would, all right?
No, I'm this is like I told my wife, like, I don't care what time the sun comes up. I don't care what time the sun goes down. If I'm going to sleep, I'm going to sleep. I don't have no plans. I don't want to go out at dinner at a certain time. I don't care. It's just whatever happens, happens.
I love it. Love it. Cool. All right, Holmes. Well, good show. And, yeah, I'll catch up with you when you're back. Hopefully you bring me something from your adventures.
Yeah, man, I'll bring you back something. So thanks again, guys, for everybody who's listening. The word of mouth or word of the keyboard, however you want to put it, you know, it's really spreading a lot. We're starting to get a lot of love, and you know, I just want to appreciate everybody again for, you know, sharing with your friends and, you know, sharing with the people in your karting group. And, no, I can't say it enough. It's just thank you. I really appreciate it because, you know, we work hard at this and, you know, we're really passionate about karting and any kind of outdoor sports. And, you know, just thanks again, you know, and continue to spread the podcast with your friends and our Facebook page at Karting Dads or on our website, kartingdads.com. And, you know, hopefully we'll race with, you know, we wish we could race with every single one of you guys, but I know logistics wise it might not happen. But either way, if we could help you guys out in anything or have any questions whatsoever about cards, you know, please let us know and we'll be honest and straightforward with you on if we have information that will help you out. If we know somebody who might have better information, you know, we'll send you to them. So that's all I got to say. And again, guys, I appreciate it. Thanks again. Have a good weekend. Have a good week and enjoy your karting, man.